Opie and Anthony, old Jimmy Norton. We got a couple guys from Generation Kill coming into the studio here. Sundays, 9 o'clock on HBO.
Yeah, great
and,
show.
And I think it's, PJ. PJ from Generation Kill. He's Ziggy from The Wire. So who gives a crap about Generation Kill?
Are you kidding?
I want to talk about The Wire with Ziggy from season two.
Kill is great.
From the docks.
I just like how, Lee was in Oz.
Oh, really?
They just kind of wander around from one of these shows to the next.
Is he really?
Yeah. Oh, there he is.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we got PJ, of course, Ziggy. Well, his real name's PJ. And we got Lee also from Generation Kill.
But, no, your character's great. It's one of those, you're really kind of on the edge there, off the wall, eating the speed all the time.
Eating the red fuel, the Ephedra.
Not sleeping and just going off on these tangents that the journalist here, Lee, just seems to really enjoy. I like when he says something and you, being the Rolling Stone writer, just kind of goes like, oh, wow. Like, oh, this is good stuff. Yeah. Where did you get a lot of the material? Was it taken from a lot of actual soldiers, interviews with these guys? Or?
Well, since we're all playing real people, most of that stuff is actually stuff that Ray Person said.
Like, really?
Yeah, during the invasion of, during OIF-1, and like, if you meet him now, you know, he's this really mild-mannered guy from Missouri. He's really sweet. He's one of the coolest people I've ever met. But, I guess Evan wrote a new afterword in the new edition of Generation Kill, and he was talking to Ray about it, and Ray was like, dude, I didn't know you were going to put all that stuff in the book. You know, he's like, I don't talk like that. We were invading a country, you know? Like, so most of the stuff that, I think about 90% of what my dialogue is, like, kind of verbatim what Josh said.
Really?
Yeah.
It's, and a lot of soldiers have said it's a pretty accurate depiction of what's going on over there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what the most interesting thing about the whole project has been so far is that, you know, like, people to the far left have a really, you know, have a reaction to it, and people to the far right have a really serious reaction to it, but then most of the veterans are like, no, this is pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty close to what it is.
Which is, you know, the best of what, you know, I think we could have, I think that that's what we hoped for from the beginning.
What kind of reactions have you guys gotten from the left and the right? Are people, like, are you getting criticism from both ways? They feel like you're not representing them popular? Properly?
I don't know. Like, some of the stuff I've read is like, this is liberal garbage. And then, you know, I mean, I don't know.
I can't wait to hear how the person who likes it sounds.
It just sounds like a moron.
Hey, you're just stupid. Yeah. That would be all intelligent
sounding.
And
the person who really likes it, you know, thinks it's a meaningful...
I've got one voice, man. I use it for all my characters.
No, you're right. The guy who likes it is never like, it's really good.
With this stupid voice. Yeah. I'm amazed at the production of it, too. I mean, it's a giant scale. It looks great. When you're trying to depict an invasion of a country, you can't really do it with, like, two Humvees and a few guys. They really did a great job of making this look huge. I mean, when those vehicles are rolling down Saddam's highways, obviously CGI, but really a great job. It looks fantastic, the production value.
Where was it filmed?
We were in Namibia, South Africa, and Mozambique.
Wow.
Most of the time in
a few
South,
shots
up
for that
in
one.
South Africa. Yeah, a few shots, some pills.
Yeah, malaria.
Well, the pills I brought, but the shots, yes.
So you guys, the whole season is done?
Yeah.
You shot the whole season?
Yeah, we were there for 7 months last year. So.
That's what a lot of the HBO miniseries... You kind of do. You have to invest some time. You have to, you know, have a little bit of intellect to get into the characters, because I love how the characters are developed in Generation Kill. You know, there's racist guys. There's cool guys. There's guys that are there for the cause, guys that could give a crap.
So
it's really accurate.
What I liked about the book when I read the book, mm-hmm. you know, is just so honest. And I didn't finish it. I didn't feel like I had been fed a point of view. I felt like I just saw these guys, and you know, they're just doing what they're doing. And it was a really accurate account of people. You know what people are like.
Yeah. One part I really liked that almost put it like a bad light on the soldiers, was goofing on the letters that came from the kids from school. You know, like, that was, but I laughed my ass off. And it's like, yeah, of course these guys, they're trained, they're Marines, trained to kill, and they're reading letters from kids going, I hope you don't have to go to war. And then these guys are like, yeah, you fag, of course I want to go to war, you know, this is what I'm trained to do, kill. You know? So, and they're goofing on, they send little pictures, and this little girl sent her picture, and they're passing around going, yeah, look at this one's hot. You know, it's just, it was so wrong and so funny, and you know that that happens. Yeah. You know, it's not like one of those old-time war movies where they're like, this is what it's all about, the children.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's another thing to point out, too, when people are like, that's been the one thing that I was really worried about, that, you know, and again, it's, and it almost ties into what we were talking about with Tropic Thunder, this, like, people are way too sensitive about content and stuff. Like,
hey, man.
All right. Like,
easy. With
I'm
that.
Sorry, Lee.
I'm a little sensitive about
I know you're. I know you're white.
You know?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring it up, the big W word.
Not white, it's godlike American.
Right. You're the Libertarian Party. But, like, yeah, I like all the dialogue where people are like, this is really racist or really homophobic. It's like, it's gallows humor, man. Like,
right.
You know, if you're with your brothers, like, it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter what race, ethnic background you are, you know, like, where you're from. Like, you're going to take anything that you see about somebody that's different from you and just pick it apart because you have nothing to do. It's gallows humor. And then to people, for people to call it
gallows anymore. So it's outdated humor. Is that what you're saying?
It's hard to say lethal injection humor though. It doesn't have that same feel to it.
Yeah, and it's cool too because that Led Zeppelin song.
Yeah. Hangman.
Yeah. So.
I guess Lee. Now it's probably great to be in a series where maybe people forget you got your ass tattooed by Schillinger in Oz.
Well, I don't know if they edited it out, but every time I sit down in that seat, I'm like, just remember that
little inside. Yeah. That was that was a hell of a series because when you have man junk in the opening sequence when the credits are rolling, was that show Oz, and the ladies would just sit down and love it because every episode there was going to be full frontal nudity from a guy.
Absolutely, one of the seasons we were shooting some while some were airing, and the one that was airing was the one where Chris Maloney peed in a bucket, right? So one of the older guys who was, like, you know, working on the show was, like, sitting at the thing. He went, last night the show went too far. That went too far. When Chris Maloney peed in the bucket, my wife was so disgusted, she got up and went into the bedroom for the rest of the night. And I looked at him and I said, wait a minute, dude. She sees Chris Maloney pissing in a bucket, and she goes into the bedroom because she's disgusted? Come on.
Yeah, that show was very popular with the ladies after a while.
Yeah, it was. It picked up.
Hey, did Tony? Yeah. This is a weird question. Did Tony Musante die in between seasons? Because the way he kind of went off the show, like they were putting like crushed glass in his food, then he was just gone. Why did he not come back? I was like, I wonder if he died in between seasons.
No, he died in the last, because he like all of a sudden just erupts with blood one day. Right, that was how he ended in episode 8 of the first season.
I would love to have him come back to season 2. I was like,
awesome.
Yeah, he was great.
I was so psyched. When I was like a little kid, I used to watch Toma and stuff like that.
Do you ever see the first movie, his movie with Martin Sheen, The Incident, where they're on a subway train with Ed McMahon, they take it over?
Ed McMahon?
Jesus.
No, him and Martin Sheen take over the train, Ed McMahon is there with a baby, The Incident, great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Way to wreck the conversation.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Hey, I want to say hello to my girlfriend Yuko, who's listening to a car radio right now, driving up to Sing Sing. Hey, Yuko.
Sing Sing?
Why up to Sing Sing?
I want to see her other boyfriend.
Listen, I don't want to get into that. I just want to say hello to her and everybody that's in that car.
You shouldn't have said Sing Sing, then.
Yeah, it's a tough one to pass up.
Yeah, really. All right, we'll just let that one go.
Just the upstate's good enough.
Yeah, you should. Right. Driving north of here.
No, with
Northwest Chester.
Back to Generation Kill. I'm just waiting for a popular character to buy it, because obviously we have to have a little reality here, a little reality check. I'm not going to ask anything I know you're not going to tell me, but is something tragic in the future here?
Well, if you read the book, you can find out.
Well, I don't want to see. I don't want to read the book now. I don't want to know what's going to happen.
They didn't. I mean, I'd say that, you know, like whatever's in the book is going to be there on the screen, and almost none of it, as far as like a story arc in its gross sense, none of it has been fabricated. So
yeah, and the Godfather is a great gruff character. At first, I thought he was, you know, stand-up guy and stuff, and then you realize, oh my God, this guy's just out for himself, kind of doesn't care really about what's going on, just wants to get into the game.
Yeah.
Is his voice really screwed like that? Or?
No, I mean, the actual guy's voice is, but the actor just did that for the, but it was funny because
that's how the hell do you do that during the entire filming?
Well, the funny thing was, there was a read-through, and because there was a couple of guys, you know, Alexander's from Sweden, so he was working on an accent, you know, an American accent. And then the voice guy immediately went over to Chance Kelly, who plays Ferrando, and was like, dude, I need to talk to you, because you cannot do that, you know, continually without really messing up your voice.
Destroying your voice, Wow.
But, you know, that's the art. You know, you do it. You don't care. Caution to the wind.
I'm always amazed when somebody has an accent like back on The Wire, like the guys like Dominic, and they're like, you know, these guys are British. They're from all over the place. And it's like, I'm such a dope. I just assume they were raised in Baltimore or Jersey somewhere.
Oh no, man! Yeah. You know that Baltimore accent, which is the same as like the Philly one.
That's horrendous.
Oh, it's amazing.
Anthony does a great Baltimore accent.
What
accent?
Which because of Sal.
Oh, Sal.
Come on, dance,
no, come on. Sal does it all. Joseph! Joseph!
Oh, that's pretty. That's
put on Christmas shoes.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, ready? Yeah.
Me and Crystal are going to the state fair this weekend. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so awesome.
And I did the Ziggy accent, and I went home for Thanksgiving, and like one of my aunt's friends was there. She's like, we don't talk like that down here.
Down here.
I was like, oh, geez.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
Actually, John Travolta does a really good Baltimore in Hairspray. Have you seen that?
I didn't see it.
I saw part of it last night.
It's so distracting to watch him in that getup.
I know. It's weird, right?
It looks so right.
It really does. It really looks so right.
You think he flies this plane in it?
Yeah, sure he does. Get on, people who no one else sees, because you come to the house and you sneak in. We all. Boy, how bad do you have to love it when you buy your own plane? No paparazzi up here.
There's safety at 35,000 feet. How many episodes total are there, Generation Kill?
Seven.
Seven total? That's it?
That's it.
Damn it.
They don't get greedy, HBO. They really
when
don't.
They do that, though.
And there's no second season?
No.
So, you're really only doing one season?
It's just the book. It's so you're the book.
Gonna, yeah. It's going to be all book. It's going to be all wrapped up in seven episodes.
Write another book.
Yeah, no kidding.
Damn it.
I did not realize that.
It looks like something that could be a couple seasons easy.
It said miniseries, so you're kind of like, eh.
Maybe like Aftermath.
That's, pretty much the tip-off when they when mini
it's not miniseries. Yeah. Did you see Band of Brothers? You watched that, World War II?
I never saw it.
Didn't see it?
Nope.
I haven't seen all of it. I've seen...
Yeah, I thought that was, you know, pretty... It's odd when you look at war over the years like that, because that seemed to me, too, from, you know, what I've heard and read and seen in documentaries, to be a pretty accurate depiction of World War II. And it's so starkly different from what's going on in Generation Kill, which, again, seems pretty accurate. And it's such an odd thing to see how war and people that have gone to war have changed over the years and become, I guess, a little more cynical. The advent of video cameras is another thing that the soldiers have that is very surprising, to see such just heinous things being videotaped by these guys. That legless girl scene was just horrific. Have you seen videos from some of the soldiers? Have you had to check those out?
I've seen some photographs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty nasty stuff? I can't look at that.
Yeah, it's...
Porn for me, it's great.
Yeah.
I'll look at any type of disgusting porn. Two girls, one cup?
Uh-huh. I know.
Privy,
I,
privy to that one?
I've never seen that one, and I won't see it. I have heard about it.
I directed that. I completely misunderstood what I said.
I looked for it because I had heard about it, but you've got to join something.
No. Oh, our guys are just... Oh, like, they could get it.
Hang out during the break. You'll see Two Girls, One Cup. Right. It's one of our favorite things to show people.
It. Here comes Danny running in I know where it is.
And PJ, you should take a look at it because it's hilarious.
It's so hard to watch.
Yeah,
so hard to watch.
Yeah,
but you've seen that, and like, it's odd to go onto some of the video sites and see in the middle of combat.
Yeah.
You're watching guys behind a wall shooting, and this isn't a movie. It's this is real guys, and it kind of does bring the war home in such a different way than it used to with the news. You know,
I know. I mean, and then you sort of juxtapose that against the fact that the press isn't allowed to mm-hmm. take photos of the coffins and stuff.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's like we can't show this, but you go right onto YouTube, you'll see them.
Absolutely.
Do you have a personal opinion of the war, and did it change at all after doing the show?
I've said this before. I've said it a couple of times. I'm not really for this war, but only because I feel like we have so many things in this country that we sort of need to get, we need to take care of. But at the other end of the spectrum, like, it's such, like, a gigantic, like, nuanced problem where it's like, well, we shouldn't go in there for oil, and, it's like, well, it's more complicated than that. And if you really believe that, then, throw away your iPod.
Wait a minute. What
you know how much
wait,
oil it takes to
second,
make an iPod?
Buddy.
Not look. I'm not saying. Look, I'm not saying that I'm morally with it or morally like I'm totally morally opposed to invading somebody else's country. But I don't know. I don't want to get into this.
Well, it's too late. You got into it. You got
now
into it.
You're
all
in
of
it.
A sudden, I'm giving up my iPod.
No,
iPods for oil, man.
I'm just saying. We live in a. We live in a society that is, we live in a really imperialist country, it's like part of the game that we have to, that's what we're doing. And I'm opposed to it, but, it's the way it goes.
I'm just kind of, I'm still annoyed that we were a little bamboozled into jumping in there.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely. Oh,
the original thing, the original thing seemed a little noble, this guy's got his weapons, whatever, we got to go in there and make sure he doesn't use them. Then you find out there's no weapons, and then it's like, well, this kind of changed, now we want to free him. It's like, well, I wasn't up for that.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of the people were up for that. If people want to be free, usually in this world, when people are oppressed and want to be free, they rise up when the time is right and decide that they want to do it. It's kind of hard to force people into...
It's very.
I don't think we'll ever know why. Why we're over there.
Yeah.
Somebody has some reason, and I don't.
Yeah. And after 9/11, we were all pretty gung ho about just bombing the crap out of anybody.
Yeah.
It was like Afghanistan. All right, that's over. No, we need something new. Please. Bomb something.
Yeah.
England. Anything.
Yeah. Yes.
I love the idea.
You're going to be a democracy. You're going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, all right, okay, we won't do it.
Oh, yeah. And you're going to choose.
You're going to love it.
And you're going to love the choice between two things.
Oh, God.
You're going to choose. No, you're going to choose.
Choice, exactly.
Okay.
Hey, we really have to take a break, but we want to show these guys Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, dude, I don't know about this, dude.
Oh, no,
don't do this to me, please, God.
Wait.
You can turn away when you want, but
turn away when you feel you should turn away.
Do I have to get closer to?
Wait, this
get over there. There's a mic over there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of goodness that you
can let her rip, Dan.
Lee, I can see it from here. Lee, okay. Oh, Jesus Christ!
All right, here we go. This is
now. It starts out like any old.
This is Two Girls, One
kind of
everyone.
Two girls going at it, and then it just instantly takes a turn for
they
the worse.
Know each other. What? Oh!
Yes. Oh, my goodness gracious, no.
No. That is, come on, I don't buy it.
No, you don't want to buy it, is pretty much what it is. Oh, my God, the people in the control room are frightened.
Yeah. I wonder why we don't get more guests.
I'll tell you what that is. It's peanut butter, liverwurst, and chocolate syrup, because that's what we used on the first season of Oz when I did that on Schillinger.
Right. Right on Schillinger's face. That's right.
Peanut butter.
Well, how do you explain that then? How do you explain that?
Wow, it's good CGI, huh? Yeah. Looks like vomit.
Yeah. That, yeah. Oh. Explain that there.
Come on.
Mr. Hollywood.
What?
That's what our boys are fighting for, the freedom to show
that's
that
right.
in Iraq.
That's right.
I don't have oh my God, I'm about to, like.
Yeah, they're
nothing.
They're,
it is.
They're pros, sir. They're pros.
They're pros.
Yeah, that's a non-union production, though.
Non-union.
They're
scabs.
It's disgusting. If that's real, that's...
That's twisted.
I know.
Sure. I want to meet one of those girls.
You know, there's a whole thing on YouTube and other video sites of just people's reactions
to
watching that. It's hysterical. You'll see just like, oh, no, God.
Well, we got to thank these guys for coming in. We got to
absolutely
take a break. Generation Kill, right, Ant?
Yep. Fantastic show, HBO. When is it? Sundays at
9
o'clock. And then on demand, anytime you want, you could catch up. I like that. I like doing that. You know, you have the film festival.
How many episodes in are you guys right now? Because I haven't...
4.
So if you want to go, you can watch it on demand and catch be caught up by the end.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I love about on demand. You don't just have to jump in and go, what's happening?
Right.
You know, you sit there for hours on end, having to go to the bathroom, laying in bed, just go, one more episode.
I actually think I saw the entire Sopranos that way.
Yeah,
it was really weird.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, get this show. And then I was in my house for 48 hours, like, oh, God. Did the whole thing, like, fuck it and screw it.
That's what it is about, like, the box sets. And on demand, you just sit there and go, all right, one more.
Yeah.
I did that with Lost. You know, the first season of Lost, because second season came on, and I was like, you know, I didn't see this.
I'm lost.
All right, I'm really lost, so let me catch up. And you're just sitting there with bags under your eyes. You haven't showered. You're just a mess. But caught up.
There you go.
Thanks, HBO.
I did it. I got it done. I needed to do it, and now I'm up to date.
All right, let's hear it for PJ.
Yeah,
thanks,
thanks, man,
thank
so much, and continued success.
Once again, Generation Kill, Sunday at 9 on HBO. We'll continue in just a bit.